Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli, Money, Riches, and Wealth here, and I have Tom Bombasuto in the station with me. Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing great, Drew.
So, you're Italian, I'm Italian. Does that mean that we're click and clack of the financial world?
I think we're better than that.
Yeah, we're better than that. There you go. That's a great answer. We're better than that, you know? Anyway, so we're here. We're here to talk about your issues on personal finance tonight. It's an open show. Sean asked me this morning. He said, what's on your mind today, Drew? And I said, nothing. My mind is mush right this minute. I'm just doing tax returns, you know? So you get lots and lots of tax returns.
Yeah, I mean, all day long, you're in the office pulling people's taxes and doing them. It's a busy season for tax returns.
It is a busy season. But we're here tonight to answer our listeners' questions. We don't have any specific guest on tonight. Our listeners are the guests tonight. And so we're going to talk about what you want to talk about. And Kristen is going to open those airwaves and telephone lines. And so you can call in 410-9960. Right, do I have that? 410-922-6680. 922-6680. You know, I got to get those things right occasionally. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. As I always say, you know, the people call in the earliest, they're the ones that get the most time, and they can ask any question they want to, whether it's about retirement plans, IRAs, income taxes, estate planning, insurance, whatever. It's you got a question on personal finances, we'll do our best to answer it. Actually, what was it, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, somebody called in and asked a question about Delaware income tax withholdings out of his paycheck, and we actually didn't really know the answer at first, but in between the commercial breaks or whatever you want to call them, we found that, you know, what the real answer was. So I was dismayed that we didn't know in advance what that should have been. But we got the right answer ultimately. So, I think we'll have one topic, Tom, that I want to address in a Drew's view, as we call it. It's the one where, you know, you get somebody who owned a personal residence in Maryland for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and now all of a sudden they're going to sell that house, and they've moved to Delaware, or they've moved to Florida, and they're selling their house in Maryland. Their new address says Delaware, their new address says Florida, or whatever case may be, and real estate agents are telling these people that they owe 7.5% tax on it. And I keep saying to people, that's ridiculous. That's not what the law says. If the house is your personal residence and it qualifies under federal code section 125, anyway, the personal exemption code of the federal rule, and you get the $500,000 exclusion, there's going to be no capital gains tax on the sale of the house, then the person owes no withholding, and it's not a tax. Hear me. It's not a tax. It's a withholding. A withholding means the state, takes the money and holds it in an account until you file your tax return and prove one way or the other whether you owe the state of Maryland money. And then, if you don't, you get it all back. And if you do, they're going to keep a little and they're going to give you the rest back. Or if you owe more, you're going to have to pay more. So the point is, here's the point. The point is if it's your personal residence, don't listen to agents that tell you that you're going to owe this because you live in Delaware or Florida now. Just get what's called an affidavit of residence, proving that it is your personal residence. Mm-hmm. Get it into the department of whatever in Maryland. It tells you on the form where to send that to before you go to settlement, and you're exempt. They won't withhold a nickel. Anyway, I get frustrated because I have to answer this question so many times for people because they're selling a house and they're living in Florida or Delaware, and it's like this ominous thing, 7.5% is going to be taxed on this. And it's like, no, that's not the way the law works. So let's get it straight out there.
Yeah, I mean, Drew, you're right. We've been getting so many of the questions lately have been about misinformation that others are giving out that we're having to rectify. Because they're scaring people.
Yeah, well, you know, you see this a lot, and you know, hey, look, if you have a commercial piece of property and you live in another state, there is a withholding, and you know, actually, I don't blame Maryland for wanting to do a withholding because a lot of people don't know that if you sell a commercial piece of real estate in Maryland, you do owe Maryland a tax, regardless what state you're a resident of, even if you're a resident of a tax-free state. Anyway, we're going to Cindy in Elk Ridge. Cindy, how can we help you?
Well, I was told today by a coworker that our union dues that we pay may be tax deductible.
Well, that's absolutely true. And the operative word there, Cindy, is may be tax deductible. And the problem is there's two problems. Number one, your overall miscellaneous itemized deductions. Okay, so if you look down that Schedule A, the very last block, it says miscellaneous itemized deductions like job-related expenses. That's right. Where union dues would be deductible. And they have to, your overall miscellaneous deductions, tax return preparation, safe deposit box, legal fees that were for tax-related issues, all kinds of those things, union dues, and you know, and so forth, have to add up to more than 2% of your adjusted gross income. And if they do, yeah, you will start getting a deduction for those union dues. But there's still one other issue. Your overall income can't be subject to what's called the alternative minimum tax. Because if you're subject to what's called the alternative minimum tax, then you would lose the union due deduction. So the operative word there is may, and it's a miscellaneous itemized deduction.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. That was a good question. Mm-hmm. Quickie. We're going to go to one more, Kristen, right? Yeah, Kathy and Glen Burnie. Kathy, how can we help you?
I also have a tax question.
Go ahead.
I worked for an employer last year, and I worked almost a year. And the last 3 weeks, he did not pay any of us. He filed Chapter 11.
Okay.
But I received my statement, and it has the wages on it for this year, which is about $3,000 more. Is there any place that I can deduct that since I didn't get paid for it?
Yes. If you didn't get paid, you don't have the responsibility to pay income taxes on that, and you should have him reissue you a W-2. And if he won't, then you would just, you would have to talk to your tax preparer because each one is going to have a different way how they might address that issue. But you're going to have to prove that you truly didn't get that and that the W-2 is incorrect.
Okay.
All right, so was your W-2 from a payroll company or was it from him?
Well, it was from a payroll company.
Well, you got to go back to the payroll company.
I have the bounce check.
Okay, well, you got to go back to the payroll company and say, we did not receive this money. You need to adjust these W-2s. You need to correct them, and so forth.
So, Kathy, it sounds like you actually say you got a check and it bounced?
Yeah, I don't understand. So doesn't the payroll company do a direct deposit for you?
No, these were just regular checks, not a direct deposit.
Well, the payroll company should know that that check bounced because it would have bounced on them.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wrote the check. He had a payroll company write it out of his checking account.
That's weird. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, the company pays the payroll company, and the payroll company pays the employees.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a small company.
Yeah, I guess. I'd go back to the payroll company and show them the checks that bounced and say, you know, I need you guys to correct the W-2 because we never got this compensation.
Okay.
And you also have a nice case in the bankruptcy court, you actually take preference over many other people. So make sure you collectively gather all your employees and seek legal representation because you have one of the highest standings in Chapter 11.
Okay.
All right?
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Anyway, we got to take a quick break or whatever you want to call it, right, Kristen? And what are you going to? You going to traffic? Yeah, you're going to traffic with Maggie Hunter. So if you want to get online before and while we're on this break, 410-922-6680. We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth. Take it away, Maggie.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show here with Tom Bombasuto. That's almost poetic.
It is.
It's Tignanelli is much harsher. But Bombasuto,
we have to figure out what your name means. One of these
I know what it means. Oh. Head of stone.
Oh.
Why are you laughing over there?
Is that like a hard head?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess you could say that. But you didn't have to go there, Tom, if you didn't want to. So what's Bombasuto mean?
Lived well.
Well, Tignanelli means live better. Anyway, I'm going to Jay in Pikesville. Jay, how can we help you? Jay is gone, maybe, I think. Jay, I'm going to put you on hold. If you're there, Kristen will come back to you. I'm going up to John in Parkville. John, how can we help you?
Well, how are you tonight?
We're great. And you?
If I'd be any better, I'd be bulletproof.
If you'd be any better, you'd be Tom Bombasuto, who's living well. Go ahead, John.
I just have a question. My wife turned 70 and a half last year. That means we have a IRA. She had to make a mandatory distribution. This year, and that last year, she was able to contribute to the what do we call it, catch-up when you're over
401k or IRA?
IRA.
She did the catch-up when you're over 50. Okay.
Okay, and now this year, I find out that we are not able, since she turned 70 and a half last year, we are not able to contribute any more to the catch-up.
You're not allowed to contribute to the IRAs at all once you turn 70 and a half. Traditional IRA, but you are able, John, to contribute to the Roth IRA.
Right. Okay. But the question is, she is working, and she has a traditional IRA. And my only question was that if you turn 70 and a half and you are working, you are no longer able to contribute to the additional catch-up.
No, you're no longer able to you're no longer able to contribute to the traditional IRA at all. Not just
really?
The catch-up, nothing.
Oh, cripes.
Yeah, cripes, and you're right, cripes and cripes.
I'm saying cripes because her work is... money is still deducted from her pay.
So what you're talking about, it's not an IRA, it's a 401k.
No, individual retirement account, 401k for work, but I'm mixing up a 401k related to work or individual retirement account, what she controls.
Yeah, the one she controls is the individual retirement account. The one at work is a 401k or a 403b or a 457. She may have a simple IRA. Is she in a small employer?
No. Well, it's a middle-sized employer.
How middle? Is it 20 people, 50 people, 1,000 people?
300.
300. Well, there's no way it's a SEP IRA. It's no way it's a simple IRA. It's got to be a 401k more than likely. And if it's a 401k, she should be able to still contribute to the 401k. And she doesn't have to do a required minimum distribution from a 401k.
Well, she doesn't, but she's 70 and a half last year.
It doesn't matter. If she continues to work for the employer, the 401k is not subject unless she used to be an owner of the company. I'm assuming not. Did she ever was an owner? No. So
no,
then...
She didn't have any ownership.
Then there's no reason that she has to take a required minimum distribution from the 401k, the thing at work, but the one she controls at home, the IRA, she has to take a required minimum distribution, and she is not allowed to contribute to the IRA at home at all, but she can continue to contribute to the 401k at work.
Thank you very much. You clarify the things, and you open up my eyes.
Yeah, and make sure they're not making her take a required minimum distribution, because she doesn't have to.
That's correct. They have not, but you know.
The one at home has.
One at home, when we made the total IRA total, made sure that the distribution MRD was, you know, her total was in that MRD.
Right. You know what you ought to do? If she's still working and has a 401k, you ought to roll over your IRA into the 401k at work and boom. Everything stops. All the RMDs stop and everything. That's what I would do. That's a different story. I don't have time to go into it anymore. So,
well, I appreciate your advice.
All right, John. Mm-hmm. Take care. What's that say? Hans? Hans in Severna Park. Hans, I used to live in Severna Park also.
Did you really? I've been here almost all my life.
Oh, I was only there for about 10 years. Where in Severna Park are you?
Oh, I'm on the wrong side of the highway behind Early Heights Fire Station.
Oh, my stepson, Austin, lives there behind the Early Heights Fire Station. Down on, what's it called? Locust Lane?
Well, actually, I'm down in an older community in Riverdale.
Ah, I know where you're talking about. Nice restaurant down there, too, isn't
it? Well, it used to be.
Oh, that's right. That was gone. I heard about that. Anyway, what's your question, Hans?
Question, Social Security.
Yeah.
Every year you get this little statement summary of your entire life with the Social Security, and they have a statement how much you've made every year.
Right.
And we've noticed a couple of years ago, actually, you know, paying attention to the thing, that way back in, I guess, 1984.
Wow. Okay.
I switched employers, and they only recognized my first employer. I worked for one employer for the first month of the year and then a different one for the last 11 months of the year.
Okay.
And the one for the last 11 months of the year, they didn't recognize that. In other words, it's not showing up on the statement.
Okay.
Now, I pay taxes. I have a tax return. I had a W-2 form and everything else like that, but is that important? Do I have to worry about it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You need to go back to Social Security, get your W-2, get your tax return out, and say, you've made a mistake here. I want it corrected.
Oh, I didn't make a mistake.
No,
I said you made a mistake,
meaning Social Security.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Security right. made a mistake mm-hmm. because, you know, Hans, they used the top 35 years. More than likely, that 1984 year is going to be in your top 35.
Okay.
And if it's not right, it's going to affect you. If it only affects it by $20 a month, it's $20 a month for the rest of your life, compounded at the rate of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Now, a couple years ago, I've tried to call a couple of times, and I get this confusing answer where, well, you can come in and see us, and, you know, we may not be able to see you that day, but we don't take appointments, and it was like, go away, leave me alone. I mean,
well,
how do
you know,
I rectify this?
You know, that's an interesting question. I've not had to rectify one myself, so I can't give you that personal experience, but I'll tell you what, we're going to have Mr. Social Security himself on our radio station in the next week or two. But I'll tell you what, here's a better thing. You email me, drew@drewtig.com, drew@drewtig.com, and I will forward your email to Mr. Social Security himself, the rock star of Social Security Advice, and I'll ask Jack to write you back personally how to rectify this and how to insist on, you know, one of the best things Jack will say? Call your congressman up. Tell him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'll say that. He says this all the time. He says, call your congressman up. Tell them that they won't fix your wage statement. They're giving you the runaround. He says, once they call the congressperson, somebody from their office calls that Social Security office, they will be down on your front porch trying to fix the Social Security statement for you. That's what Jack will say. But send me an email, and we'll send it to Jack and see if he gives you that advice.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
Drew@DrewTig.
Yeah, T as in Tom, Tignanelli. T as in Tom means head of stone, not like living well over
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
all right, buddy, take care.
Excellent.
Take
Thank
care.
You so much.
Bye. Anyway, Tom and Jay, you're going to have to hold on the line because I have to take a traffic update with Maggie Hunter. Maggie, why don't you take it away, and we'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. We're here with Living Well, Bombasuto. And he's still laughing, I tell you. Anyway, we'll go to Jay because we lost him earlier. Jay, how can we help you?
How you doing?
Go ahead.
How you doing? There's a question at work. If someone retires when they're 66,
okay,
and they keep on working,
yep,
they keep on working, does the Social Security readjust itself every year?
Okay, that's a good question. So you go into Social Security and you say, I want to start collecting Social Security because I'm at my full retirement age.
Right.
And because I'm at my full retirement age, I can continue to work and it doesn't affect my Social Security payment. Now
right.
Your question is, okay, I'm 67, I'm 68, I'm 69. Am I going to still get benefit out of the Social Security taxes I'm paying on my wages, even though I'm still collecting? And the answer is maybe. And here's the answer, why maybe is the answer, Jay, and that is going back to Hans. Remember I said to Hans, it's your top 35.
Right, right.
And so your top 35 are going to be the key. And if you're today at 66 or 67 earning the highest amount you've earned in your lifetime, then the answer is absolutely, because your top 35 is continuing to increase. But let's say you were always at max Social Security for the last 35 years. You maxed out Social Security, like last year it was 113.7. If your income was over that and every year, whatever the max Social Security was at, you were at that max Social Security,
right,
and you continue to work and you continue to be over max Social Security, it will still affect it a little, because the top 35 is still impacted by the adjusted, inflated value of those Social Security benefits. You know, like
right,
a guy that maxed out on Social Security in 1995 is earning a lot less than the guy who maxes out in Social Security in 2014, and that's because the wages have been increasing that much. So the answer is yes. But if you're just taking a part-time job and you're making 20 or 25 and you used to make 80, then the answer is probably not. It's probably money down the Social Security drain.
Okay. So they do that automatically, though.
Yes, sir. Every year they will automatically adjust that. You don't even have to think about it. All right?
Okay, great.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Great show.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Tom in Catonsville, how can we help you?
This is a quick question, and it actually has to do with the TSP.
Okay.
I'm a federal employee, probably actually, and I'm under CSRS.
Okay.
So, but I decided late, because I was, afraid of losing money, to contribute to the TSP. So I've only been contributing that for a year, and I probably am going to retire in about a year or two. So I wouldn't mind making some money on my investment, but I'm in the two questions. I'm in, I think, the G fund, which is probably the safest one.
Yeah.
Would you guys recommend any of the other ones just to try it? Well, I guess I can contribute after I retire as well.
Well, since, you can't contribute after you retire anymore.
Okay. So since I'm going to retire in a year or two, is there, with the market?
Well, you should definitely contribute.
You'd recommend that maybe it's not too...
Tom is our director of investments. He's the CFA, the highest credential you can get in the investment industry. So, Thomas... take it away.
Sure. Tom, those are good questions. And, it's hard to answer that question in without having a much bigger perspective on your whole
picture. What
other
investments
picture.
He's doing
yeah,
and
yeah,
things
yeah,
your of
whole
that
picture.
Sort.
I mean, the best advice is put away as much as you can. And that's always the best advice. The G fund is the more conservative of the bunch. The other thing to remember is when you leave and if you take that out, even if the market had gone down, you can reinvest it in the market, and so you can ride that back up as the market recovers. So, and with the way you're investing, you're going to invest on a weekly, biweekly kind of a basis.
Yeah, he probably doesn't have a lot of his overall net worth in the TSP, so
right,
he could be a little more aggressive.
And you probably don't have that much in equities overall in your overall net worth, or do you? Do you have any other investments elsewhere?
No, I'm just relying on my retirement and my...
A CSRS is enough to retire on for anyone,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so. And those are essentially annuities, or they act like bonds. So
yeah.
Having a little bit of equity exposure is going to help you in staying ahead.
So he has
give him
the C fund, which is the U.S. common stocks. He's got the I fund, which is international. He's got the S fund, which is small cap. And then you got that socially responsible fund in there, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And then he has the L funds, the lifestyle funds. Isn't that what we call them in the TSP, the L funds?
Yeah, there's a bunch of those, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think in our portfolio, we would have them a little heavier in the I, some C, and some S, you know? That would be so. You know, Tom, if you know, you're not going to have that much money in there. Like Tom says here, my Tom here, he says you can even if you leave and the market's gone down, you can just roll it over and continue investing in the market if it goes up. So I think a combination of like 30% I, 25% C, 20% S, and the rest stay in G. And if you get a big, you know, and just wait.
Yeah,
you know, so
because
that,
your dollar cost averaging in, if we get a pullback in the market here, you know, you're going to keep working it in. And you know, you're spending your time doing all the stuff you're doing at work, and you're not watching it every day. So, you know, we think you can, you know, put a little bit more in the equity markets and invest it over the next couple of years and evaluate it at the point you retire. And as you may roll that out and see what the situation is.
Okay, and one quick question related to that is, I think I was told that I cannot do any catch-up in those, like dump a whole bunch of money.
You can only do the $23,000 per year. And I actually, because he's CSRS, he may not even be able to do 23. You're limited to a percentage under the CSRS, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I contribute 7% a year under the CSRS. I don't know.
Yeah,
about
well, you see, other employers, you can just do flat $23,000 of your salary away. But I think in the TSP plan for CSRS employees, there's a specific percentage of your income that you're only allowed to contribute into the TSP plan.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Yeah, well, you want to max out every nickel they'll let you do in the TSP plan.
Well, I am, particularly because I don't want O'Malley to get any more.
I hear you. You know, there are a lot of really cool little things you can do with that CSRS plan before you retire if you've got other money, like in bank accounts or investment accounts. So, you know, before you retire, make sure you seek out some good, competent advice. Okay?
It's kind of funny. You did remind me. I do have substantial savings. So.
Yeah, well, you know, there's some really cool things you can do with a CSRS pension just like the year or so before you retire. So make sure you seek out good advice on that. All right?
Okay.
Take care, Tom. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Linda in Baltimore. Linda, how can we help you?
You're so smart. I listen all the time, and I swear I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to understand what you're saying.
Well, we could be making it up, too, couldn't we?
Yeah. Look, you do you remember the Italian Hour used to come on Sunday?
Yes, I do.
There you are.
We could be that.
I know.
Tom and Drew, the Italian Hour.
I love it.
All right, so what's your question?
My question is, my cousin passed away 5-6 years ago. He didn't have any parents or any children. He'd never been married. And I got a letter from Thrift something or other saying that he had left a substantial amount of money in his 401k. So I got in touch with them, and they said, well, you have to, since you're first, I'm a first cousin, right? And I had to get all the names of all my cousins, call the funeral parlor, you know, and it was difficult. So I finally got all that information, sent it to them. And then when I try to find out about it, they say, oh, well, we're still verifying. And I think I was sold a bill of goods.
I'm not sure. I would guess that this is a legitimate issue, okay? Now, I don't know because I don't know the group that you're talking to and so forth. But what happens when somebody dies and leaves an estate behind and doesn't write a will and nobody really knows? Then basically it goes to what's called intestate. And there are companies out there. And are they saying that they're going to get this money for you and they're going to take their share of it if they get it for you?
They didn't say anything about taking a share.
Well, is it a law firm that's asking this for?
You know, I should have been more prepared when I called, but I didn't think I was going to get through. It's called Thrift Savings or something.
Thrift Savings Plan? Did he work for the federal government?
Yeah, he worked for Social Security.
It's absolutely legitimate. Legitimate because of the TSP plan. That's what the other gentleman was talking about.
Right.
And what they're doing is an intestate investigation. They're trying to determine who are the legal heirs of his 401k.
Right.
And if you were his cousin and there were no aunts or uncles or parents or children or brothers or sisters, a first cousin will have a high standing.
But there were 10 of us.
Well, but you'll have 1/10 of a standing on this.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
She said that, I said, well, I did this once before, and, something didn't work out. I don't want to go through all that.
Your family must have a reputation for not doing wills and keeping their beneficiary designations and so forth up to date.
He did have a will, but that wasn't included on his will.
Well, it doesn't have to be. The will should cover everybody. So I don't know. Does TSP know there was a will?
Yeah, I think so.
What were you one of the will beneficiaries?
No. And my dad was.
Is your dad deceased?
Yeah, see, my dad...
So that's why you're back in the picture.
Did your dad predecease your cousin?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So that's why you're in the picture, is because you're taking your father's place in his will. And that depends on how his will was written. But that's why you're in it, and I would believe it's totally legitimate.
You know, when I come through, I'm gonna have my friend bring you a pizza over.
All right, then we can have a real Italian hour. Don't forget the Tuscan wine, okay?
Say happy birthday to me. My birthday is Friday. I'm gonna be 75.
All right, well, happy 55th birthday to you.
Buon compleanno.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
All right, you take care. We got to take a quick break, we're gonna be right back. Money, riches, and wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. We only have about 5 minutes left. I'm here with Tom Bombasuto. Thomas, you had something you wanted to add after that last caller.
Yeah, well, it's a case with Linda there that her cousin, we don't know all the details, but so often we meet with clients where they haven't prepared and looked at beneficiaries. A lot of meetings we've been doing lately, we come across and, have you checked your beneficiary? No. And we find out it's somebody that's deceased.
Right.
And they haven't
ex-spouses we see quite frequently.
Yeah, and they forget that, that ex-spouse is going to get the money.
Yeah.
Because the beneficiary is such a powerful document, that beneficiary designation, when you strike that. And so it's very powerful.
It overrides the will.
Exactly. So it's going to override the will. And then you have cases like this. So where you've got a cousin they're trying to figure it out. And, it's nice enough that the government's trying to track down who to give the money to. It's not gone into some black hole.
It would have gone into unclaimed assets.
Right.
But somehow or another, he had, this... Some reason or other, Thrift Savings Plan is looking into it. That's interesting because normally they would just cast it off to unclaimed assets.
Right, right.
And yep. And that's what I was kind of getting at with Linda, is that a lot of time unclaimed assets, like this Thrift Savings Plan, if they can't figure out who it is, they'll just send it off to the state of the person's residency. It becomes an unclaimed asset. And then all of a sudden these search companies will find these unclaimed assets. They'll then search for who the beneficiaries are. And if they can pinpoint who the beneficiary is, they'll send them letters and say, hey, we noticed unclaimed assets are in an account here, and we'll help you get them if you give us 25% of what we help you get.
Right.
And, a lot of people will go, and that is legitimate. I don't necessarily know I would pay somebody 25% because all you got to do is check the unclaimed assets. Go claim it yourself.
Right.
You don't need them. But they won't tell you necessarily where it is and who it's from. They try to keep it as much a mystery as possible.
Exactly. So there's so much people can do with planning. whether it be with their will, with beneficiary designations, the titling of things to prevent, first of all, money going to the wrong people,
right,
or people they didn't intend, and just the headaches for the family that's left behind.
Right.
So,
let me just give you, just to validify even more what you're saying is, we meet with our clients once or twice a year at the very least. And every time we meet with the client, every single time we review the beneficiary designation, mm-hmm. okay? And I would say we change them, 30% of the time?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
30% of the time, people who are looking at their beneficiary designations on a regular basis, we're changing 30% of the time. Most people that come in the first time to meet with us, they haven't looked at it in 5, 10, 15 years,
right.
And there's no way those beneficiary designations are likely right.
Exactly. And it's not just on your 401k, your thrift savings plan. There's so many things, life insurance policies. I had a client the other day, his father and mother were named on his life insurance policy
yeah.
as the beneficiaries, and they've been dead for 20 years.
Yeah, and he's probably married and children, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And mother and father claimed that. I've seen many times where they have brothers and sisters claimed on the policy because they were thinking, I'll leave it to my brother and sister, and if we ever have children, they'll take care of the children or something like that, and
right.
they never get around to changing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a Supreme Court ruling just about 2 years ago, and what happened is a guy was married. He did his beneficiary designation in 1989. And he got divorced in 1994. Mm. And she signed off on the divorce decree to say she didn't want any rights in his 401k plan. He dies in 2007. The children go in to claim the money. They say, sorry, the mother is the beneficiary, not you children. They say, look, dad and mom got divorced. They have a divorce decree. She signed off. She didn't want anything in it. Here's the will. He left everything to us. There's no way that they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt they were likely the desired beneficiary.
Right.
But they said because he never changed the beneficiary designation, they're giving it to the ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
wow.
That's a doozy. You don't want to mess with those beneficiary designations. Get them right. Get them right tomorrow. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.